Jesus, light of the world. You know, I've been thinking about what should I preach on, and this just struck me. Preach on Jesus. Preach on Jesus. Preach on Jesus. And I listened to Kat's talk last week, and it was brilliant, superb. I believe the 10 points have gone out on email, but we'll get those printed off for anybody who hasn't got email with them. Laura has... No, where's Ruth? Is Ruth here? Ruth's here. If you want your emails added to our emailing list, what we do each week, we send out the newsletter, which kind of summarizes what's happened on the Sunday morning, and then is also useful for other information. If you don't get that at the moment, but you want it, could you see Ruth and give her your... No, I think... Is that how we're doing it, Graham? No. Right. Right. Excuse me, Jonathan. On your email sheet, where is it? Where is it, Graham?
There, at the bottom.
Right, thank you. At the bottom, in the middle. There you go. Send your email that, and then you will be subscribed. Thanks, Graham. Oh, I'm not technical. Sorry. Kat was brilliant last week, wasn't she? Absolutely superb. If you haven't heard it, go onto the website and the podcast. Can we stick up the few verses that I've got up, please, which is the next one? I'm going to read some of these out because I think it's great to read out scripture publicly. It says in John 1, at the very beginning of John's gospel, in him, Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shined in the darkness, the true light that gives light to every man. The true light is Jesus. And then in John, later on, Jesus says of himself in chapter 12, verse 46, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. And then in Psalm 27, this is one of my life verses, as they call them in America, I don't have to call them over here, one of my memory verses that when I'm struggling a bit, or I'm in the shower in the morning, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, I will not stumble or fall. The Lord is my light and my salvation. That's talking there about Jesus and linking the light with salvation. And then, I've obviously not done my PowerPoint very well because I've missed off half the verse, so I'll have to read it to you. It's okay, I've got it here. Don't worry, don't panic. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Verses that are read out every Christmas around the land, prophesying the coming of Jesus, says this: the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Jesus, light of the world. Over the summer holidays, I'm reading a book by Dostoevsky. Everybody go, woo! Whoa, how clever am I? I'm reading Dostoevsky. It's that big as well. It's going to take me 3 years. Ruth knows how slow I am at reading. 3 years. Called The Brothers Karamazov, but it's really good. And in The Brothers Karamazov, there's this, it's not that clever, you know, it's quite easy read, really. But in The Brothers Karamazov, there is a discussion between two characters, and one is an atheist, and one believes in God. And the atheist says, well, listen, it says in Genesis chapter 1, on the first day, God created light. He said, let there be light. But then on the fourth day, God says, God creates the sun and the moon and the stars. How can that be true? How can that be true? If on the first day there's light, but the sun and the moon and the stars don't come along until day four. Now, I've not finished the book because, as I say, it will take me 3 years. But I'm hoping at some point there will be a reply. And the reply will be from Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. Revelation 21, verse 23, the city, the New Jerusalem, does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. Today, I want us to do something that I was told by my primary school teachers never to do. I've got no science qualifications whatsoever. I was actually rubbish at science. Or was it my teachers who were rubbish? I don't know. I'll blame me. It was me. I was rubbish at science. So I don't understand how anything works. which is great. You know, everything's magical when you're like me. It's fantastic. It's all just magic. But I remember one thing from primary school science, and it was this, because there was eclipses at that time. There was one thing I remember the teacher saying, don't look at the sun or you'll go blind. That was the one thing I remember. Don't look directly at the sun, you'll go blind. And we had these special things you had to look through. Did you ever use those? I don't know what they were called even. Something you had to look down to look at the sun. But you know what? When a teacher says, don't do something, what do you want to do? You want to do it. You think, how long can I look at the sun before I go blind? It's like, you get like a quick peek like that. It's like, don't run with scissors. Every time I get hold of a pair of scissors, I kind of want to run, don't you? And it's like, don't look at the sun. Don't look at the sun. But today I want to say, look at the sun. Look into his face. He is the one we have to look to. And during the season at the moment in OCF, we're calling the whole church to look to him. The leaders of the church are saying that God is calling us to look to his son. If we want to be the evangelists and the prophets and the people of God, what do we have to do? We have to look to God. We have to look to him. I've been watching has anybody been watching the European Athletics Championships, or whatever they're called? No? I've been avidly watching it. Avidly. Because I'm off, so I can. Avidly, just there in me pyjamas, watching the athletics. And it's absolutely gripping. It's superb. We're going to watch a YouTube clip, if it will work for us, of Adam Jamili. Get in! Adam Jamili, 200 metres. You don't coach him, do you, Tabo? You don't coach him? Oh, no, okay, right. Okay. So, I don't know how to do that. It's technical. It's all magic, isn't it? Right, hang on. Oh, lights. Hang on. Lights. Woohoo! It's magic, as if by magic. There he is. Okay, it's like one of those magic pictures. You know, the magic, you have to look at it for a long time. And a picture of an athlete will appear. Lord, make it so. Don't worry. It's coming. We're fostering the fruit of the Spirit is patience. Here we go. Here we go. That's him, isn't it? I think number four. I think that's him. That's Adam. Watch this. Come on, Adam. Did anybody shout at the telly? Look at him, go. Look at that. Him there. That's him. That one. Get him. Come on, Adam. Oh, yes. Woo. Great Britain. Look, he doesn't believe it as well. Look. Is it me? I love that. Have I got it? I don't know. I love that look. It's great, isn't it? Have I won? Superb. Because, you know, it's interesting that those who keep their eyes fixed, did you see as they were running? When they were running, did they have a look around to see how everybody else was getting on? Like, come on. Keep up with me. They weren't doing that, were they? They had their eyes fixed on the finishing line. Those with their eyes fixed on the finishing line are the ones who win. Some athletes do look around. There was a guy, I can't remember his name, and he was on the starting blocks, 500 metres, and he set off, and apparently he did quite well, but Denise, whatever her name is, who does all the commentating, he set off, and he was looking to see if he was in front of everybody else. So obviously his coach is going to tell him off for that one. I'd be quite cross about that, because what you do is you fix your eyes on the finishing line. Steve Crown was saying about Mo Farah, and Mo Farah was running, he was looking around like this. He said, that's when you trip over, when you do things like that. But obviously Mo Farah is amazing. Christians don't get distracted by how others are running their race. But fix your eyes on the finishing line. And as you focus on that finishing line, as you run towards the light of Christ, then others will run in your slipstream. And they will chase your example because you are setting the pace. So often we see athletes achieving personal best times because they've kept up with those ahead. If those ahead had looked around, they would have all slowed down, and then everyone slows and no one achieves their best and no one grows and no one is stretched to be more than they thought they could be. Or what if those ahead had compared themselves with the slowest and thought, well, I'm running a bit faster than them, so I'm doing okay. And we do that as Christians, don't we? We compare ourselves. We kind of think, you know, I might be sinning a bit, but not as bad as that person over there. They're really sinning big style. So I'm doing all right. Praise God. I kind of think if Usain Bolt decided he was just going to run a little bit faster than the second place person, would he have smashed the world record? Do you know what? He didn't run like that. He ran to run the fastest that he could run. He ran to destroy what anybody else had ever done before, to become stronger and faster than anyone has ever been. That was his goal, not to be just a bit faster than the person behind him, but to be the fastest that he could be. And my question is, are we running for the finishing line? Kat said last week, as an individual matures, a congregation matures. Because Usain Bolt can beat world records, then others believe they can. If he's done it, so can I. Jesus said himself, you will do even greater things than me. You believe that? We are called to fix our eyes on Jesus. He has run before us. He is our finishing line. He is our finishing line. Our finishing line is not our healing. Our finishing line is not our wholeness. Our finishing line is not our job. Our finishing line is not a car that works or restored relationships or financial security. Our finishing line is Jesus. Our finishing line is not perfection. Our finishing line is not fulfilled dreams. Our finishing line is not a happy family and a big church and friends who always love us. Our finishing line is Jesus. We keep our eyes fixed on him. Corrie ten Boom, nearly every sermon I preach, I've got her in it somewhere. Corrie ten Boom was a woman who was a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, who was in the Nazi concentration camps. She saw people die emaciated around her. She herself was deprived. Her finishing line was not her comfort. Her finishing line was Jesus. And so she could rejoice in her circumstances. Richard Wurmbrand, who was tortured for his faith and imprisoned in a cell that he couldn't stand up in for something like 12 or 13 years of his life, rejoiced in Jesus because his finishing line was not release or freedom. His finishing line was Jesus. He kept his eyes fixed on Jesus. And he even said that when he was released and he ended up in America, there were times when he wished he was back in the cell. Because so often when we are out of those difficult situations, we start getting distracted by the things of this world. And he said, in there, he knew Jesus. Our finishing line, what is your finishing line? What do you focus on day in, day out? Is it that you would get healed? Is it that you would get financially secure? Is it that you would become more comfortable or God would bless your dreams? What do you fix your eyes on every day? The Bible calls us to fix our eyes on Jesus. The Westminster Catechism says this: what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And it doesn't mean that God isn't interested in our healing or our dreams being fulfilled, but he does it as we fix our eyes on him. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. So why do we run towards the light of Christ? It's so we can know the Father. Another cat quote. Cat quote two. Keep making the decision to follow Christ every day of our lives. Every day of our lives. Not once 20 years ago, but every day of our lives. Let's be very clear what this light is and what this light is not. The church is not the light. Other churches are not the light. conferences are not the light. Other Christians are not the light. We do not walk by them, but by Christ. Listen carefully. Tradition and Scripture are not the light. Scripture only brings light because it is a lamp that shines His light on our understanding of the words from His mouth. He is the light. Jesus and only Jesus is the light that we have to follow. I live in Bickerstaff, and in the winter sometimes you get power cuts. Sometimes. A lot of the time you get power cuts, don't we, Wendy? We get power cuts. And I've learned after a little while that what you need to make sure you've got close to hand and remember where it is your torch. You need to know where the light is. Because if you don't know where your light is, as I've known on a few occasions, you start stumbling around thinking, where's that? I can't do anything. There's no point trying to study your word of God because I can't see it. It's not clear to me. There's no point me trying to have a kiss and a cuddle with Adrienne. I don't know where she is. Can't find her lips anywhere. There's no point cooking food. There's no point doing anything until you've found the light. And so you have to search for that light. And once you've found the light, you can do other things. Christians, sometimes we try to live our lives without the light of Christ. We've forgotten who He is and where He is. There's no life about us anymore. Our joy is gone and we've fallen back on stumbling around trying to find our own way. Sometimes end up in situations that are dangerous, that hurt ourselves, that hurt others. Let's be honest, we've all been there and we've all done that. 1 John 1 verse 5, God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. And if we walk in the light as He in the light is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. The light comes for... It's interesting, isn't it? In that verse, that sentence, purifying sin and fellowship with one another, are put together in the same sentence. We need the blood of Jesus to help us, most of all, in our relationships. Because our unity can't be based on agreeing with one another. It can only be based on the light of Christ and on Him. Luke 11 verse 36, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, when you fix your eyes on Jesus, your whole body is full of light. If your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted, as when the light of a lamp shines on you. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, we become like Him. When we fix our eyes on Brad Pitt, we don't always become like him. I've tried that one, okay? When we fix our eyes on something else, guess what? That's what consumes us. That's what consumes us. If we fix our eyes on our hurt or our negativity or our pain or our suffering or the needs that we have, that's what consumes us. And for the last 2 years, that's what's consumed me. When people have asked me, how are you, Mike? Oh, I'm tired. It's hard being a head teacher in a primary school. I'm so tired. And it's almost like I've needed to tell everybody how tired I am. And then I listen to myself telling people how hard it is, and I get annoyed with myself. Do you ever do that? Do you ever get to the point where you think, I'm just fed up with talking about how tired, I'm annoying myself with how tired I'm. And do you know what? That became the thing that I got fixed on. We're called to be full of Jesus. So I'm going to finish by this, by just sharing personally, because this is the middle of August. And I said I was going to just take August out to retreat and be with God. I hadn't actually planned to talk this talk today. So you're catching me right in the middle. I'm not quite there yet, okay? So this question I'm asking myself, and God the Holy Spirit is challenging me on this summer, am I full of light? Am I full of Him? Am I living my life with my eyes fixed on the finishing line, or am I too bothered about how other people are running their races? Am I too bothered about whether the crowd is applauding or booing me? am I so concerned about the walk of others that I have forgotten about my own walk? And it's not just leaders that can fall into that trap. We can all do that, can't we? But I'm just confessing before you now that that's what I need to get sorted out. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8. For you, Mike, were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. I've been reading a book by a guy called Kent Hughes called The Disciplines of a Godly Man. Tried to read it a few times and then put it down again. But I've been reading it and I've got through to the end and I've made notes and I've highlighted and I've done all sorts of things. Every single chapter, God has challenged me on something. How can I sort all that out, God? But just gently. God has been saying, come on, Mike, let's get this sorted out. Are you as loving to your wife as you should be? Are you giving to the church in the way that you should be? Are you nurturing your children as you should be in the way of the Lord? Are you living a balanced life between work and home and church? Mike, are you living a life of purity as you should be? Just gently, because God loves me. God wants me to reach that finish line. God wants me to break records. God wants me to fix my eyes on that finish line, because he knows that when I fix my eyes on the finish line, the rest of my body comes into line. Look at that man. Look at Adam Jamili there. Look, he's like a rocket. His eyes, even his lips are pushing forwards. Can you see that? Even his lips. Because when your eyes are fixed on the finishing line, then everything is determined to get there, no matter what. Jesus is the light that shines brighter than the sun at midday. Nothing is hidden. Nothing is without his light. I want you to know two things. First of all, that the Holy Spirit, our coach, he's there. But Jesus is the one that we're running towards. I want you to know that God loves you. God loves you no matter where you're at, no matter what your circumstances, no matter what you have done this morning, last night, 20 years ago. God loves you. He still loves you. He will always love you. He loves you so much. He sent his one and only son to die for you. God loves you. And the second thing is this. God loves you so much that he wants to challenge you. He was not happy to leave you on the starting blocks while everybody else wins the prize. Revelation chapter 1 verse 16. His face is like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Did I have another slide? I can't remember if I did or not. Yeah, I did. Look at that. Look. Oh, yeah, I like this. So at the end of a sermon, right, for those who are about to preach sermons, Kat did this, and I'm sure other people have done. So what? I love a so what bit. Here's a so what. First of all, determine to glorify him with your whole life. Okay. Number two, find out the race that you are meant to be running. Don't get distracted by how other people. Did you see Joe Pavey? Oh, I love Joe Pavey. Was she 40 years old? 40 years old, mother of two, 11-month-old baby, 10,000 metres gold medal champion. Awesome, isn't she? I just love Joe Pavey. She's just so humble and so, I don't know, it's just the way she does things. But you know what? If Joe Pavey looked at Adam Jamili, who gets all the glory, and just said, I want to be Adam Jamili, she couldn't do it, could she? She'd be there sauntering along and he'd be finished having a cup of tea. But could Adam Jamili do what Joe Pavey did? No way. He's got too much bulk on him, isn't he? You can imagine him. He'd be like me up the hills in Yorkshire. But Joe Pavey will just keep on going like one of them Duracell bunnies. She just keeps going. Find out the race that you're meant to be running. Don't get distracted by how other people are doing, running their races and compare yourself to them. Run for him, not for the crowd. Be filled with his light and put into practice the 10 principles of maturity. I point at you because you're the closest thing to cat we've got. Cats talk. And it's on the podcast, on the emails. Put them into practice. Revelation 21, verse 23. I'll finish with this because I love it so much. The city does not need the sun or the moon. I love it. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. The things that we rely on so much that we would die without, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. Can somebody get the children? And we have finished, and we're going to have a cup of tea.